Welcome back in, final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, it was ugly on Saturday, especially offensively. They lose 19-14 to the Houston Texans, just the second win of the season for Houston. Davis Mills comes in here slinging that ball around, and the Texans walk away victorious at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. Malik Willis, 14 of 23, 99 yards, two interceptions in the game. And Joe, both in that game Saturday, and as you try to project forward here for the Titans with a quick turnaround as they play on Thursday Night Football against Dallas this week, just throwing the question out there, what do we think the Titans have in Malik Willis, both now in the short term and potentially what he could grow to be in the long term as well? And we've gotten a lot of different thoughts on that today on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. For the short-term part of this discussion, I watched the game Saturday, and it's clear to me, Joe, they're really limited in what they can do in the passing game. And Malik Willis is not the only reason for that. The offensive line is struggling to pass block. The receivers are struggling to get open. You know, Treylon Burks was back in there, and even he, he got targeted twice on Saturday in that game. So there's not much happening really in the passing game at all, no matter who's quarterbacking right now, but it's magnified when Malik Willis is in there, and you could just tell they were severely limited in what they can do. And, you know, he made some decisions that I'm sure he'd like back on Saturday.
Yeah. The first pick, obviously he throws a pick in the last play of the game, but the first pick was bad and they're still in the game, and I think that was to Burks, right?
I think so. Yep.
It's just a quick slant and linebacker drops into that spot. And it's like, you can't miss that one. You can't screw that one up. And he didn't really elaborate. He was asked about it and said, yeah, it was an interception. Thank you. it was a very discouraging performance. I mean, I think we've been pretty realistic and accurate about him all year. He shouldn't be playing. They didn't want him to play. Him playing was not going to be good. I mean, even well into the season, I've seen a stray person here and there say, oh, he should be the QB over Tannehill. I mean, there are galaxies between Tannehill and Willis right now at quarterback. I don't know what Willis is going to be. I guess I kind of have taken the approach of, like, whatever this year looks like, I can't put too much into it. I've seen enough QBs in this league who were rough early, who got a lot better, to think it's possible. But I will say that, like, that was a disappointing at that point with the work he'd gotten before and just the fact that he's been forced into action. It was disappointing to see him play that way in that game. In the short term, I don't think you have much chance of winning at Jacksonville with Malik Willis at quarterback. I mean, you're going to have, like, this incredibly monster defense winning the game for you kind of game. You know, I see Mike from Shelbyville going off on you about being clouded about Josh Dobbs because he's a UT guy. But, I mean, I haven't heard you say Josh Dobbs is the answer of the savior, but he might be a better answer than Malik Willis by then, right?
I don't think it's that much of a stretch. Like, go look at what they did on Saturday offensively. You don't think Josh Dobbs could do that? I mean, if he can't, then quite frankly, I don't know what you brought him in for. I mean, I don't know what the Titans are going to do. I don't know if Malik Willis is going to start against Jacksonville or if they're going to go with Josh Dobbs. What I'm saying is, if you're a Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing and that offensive staff, you at least got to be throwing this around the room right now of, all right, we know that this game is going to be for the division. We know that it's going to come down to the Jacksonville game. What gives us the best chance to win? Is it Malik Willis, who has been here all year, who has some raw ability that is really impressive? And we talked about that earlier in the show. You know, he makes some throws every now and then where you're like, man, that's a heck of a throw from Malik Willis, and the talent is evident. But he also shouldn't be playing right now. I mean, I don't know how you could watch him play right now and think that he's anywhere close to being ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying that Josh Dobbs is a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, because he's not. But does Josh Dobbs give you a better chance to win one game against Jacksonville right now than Malik Willis does? I think you can make a pretty good argument that he does.
Yeah, and, you know, it's an interesting dynamic there, too. Ultimately what matters is who can get in there, you know, call the protection, see the coverage, make the right checks, know the offense, and deliver the ball quickly and accurately. That's what matters. But there is a leadership element to this, too. And I think it's when you bring a guy just came in, and all of a sudden we might be talking 2 weeks later, hey, go win the division for us, will you? I mean, that's wild, right? I mean, that's a heck of a story as well. And it's also like, I mean, Malik Willis has been here. I think Malik Willis is a very well-liked guy in the locker room. You know, his teammates rally around him. Is that any kind of deterrent? The only thing I would say, though, is like Dobbs is such an instantly likable person, you know? Like, I feel like he's one of those guys who actually can just go in someplace and just snap your fingers. And now, can he play well? I don't know. Like you said, I mean, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's going to be a career backup. It's what he is. He is a career backup. It's what he is. But I think there's definitely a chance that he could be a better option for you than Malik Willis in that game. And it's a super, super fast forward with the offense. But he even said, you know, like even like with Cleveland and stuff, like there's a lot, there's even some similar jargon and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that makes the most sense. Now, maybe Malik Willis will play really well against Dallas Thursday and take a big step. And okay, that would change things. I mean, I'm interested to see how he plays, but based on what we've seen, there's not much there right now. And again, like the help's terrible. The help would be terrible, but Dobbs is going to have the same bad protection and limited receivers. So it's not like you're going to snap your fingers and have some magical huge step forward at quarterback, but I think you might be a little bit better. You might have a little bit better chance. And right now you got to scrounge for every little thing you can get for that game to try to win it.
Well, Dustin in Hopkinsville on the text line says, the big thing is Willis knows the playbook. This offense, Dobbs has been here for 2 weeks at that point when they take on Jacksonville. And I hear that.
Yep.
And I agree with it. But Malik Willis knows the playbook. How much of the playbook can they run with Malik Willis? That would be my question.
Exactly. There's the playbook, but there's a game plan every week that you put in. Those are the plays you rep. I mean, there's a huge playbook. Whatever. I mean, you're talking about one game. Here in this one game, this is what we're doing. And yes, I actually think that you probably have some things that you can do that you wouldn't even do with Willis that you would do with a Dobbs, with any veteran quarterback or a lot of veteran quarterbacks. And that's the thing. When you are a career backup, the good ones are able to, first of all, a lot of them are journeymen, so they're bouncing around. So you have to adapt to this offense, that offense. You get to know the nuances, the differences between them, the similarities between them. But you also, you have to be ready to be on the fly and absorb stuff quickly. And if there's anybody who could do that, it would be a rocket scientist, I would think, right? So I hear all that, but I actually think that you might have a bigger menu of things you could do with Dobbs as opposed to Willis right now.
What's your takeaway? Like if you're evaluating Malik Willis, given all the information that we know, yes, the help around him is bad. The offensive line is bad. The receivers are bad. We know all these things. We know that he wasn't supposed to play this year. All that information that we know and have discussed, how do you evaluate what we've seen from Malik Willis to this point?
Well, it's not good. Now you have the touchdown run by him was great. A power run. He has the skill set, I think, to, there are tantalizing skills there. The arm and the athleticism are, those are good. It's just so limited right now. It's hard for me to also sit here and think like there's no way he's going to get there. It's again, he just shouldn't be playing. And it's funny too, because we've been talking about Nico and Milton. Like, what if Willis hadn't played a down this year? And we knew the arm, and we knew that some of the stuff he did in the preseason and the preseason games. Like, how differently would people be thinking about Malik Willis even like next year?
Yeah.
Like, they'd probably be like, he's gonna be ready to be the starter next year. And then you watch him play this year, and it's rough. It's really rough. I've said this all along, and I'm not changing. Even though it was really bad the other day, I'm not changing on. I'm just keeping an open mind. I think there's enough material there that it's not impossible for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Would I guess that? No, most people aren't. Most people don't work out. Most first-round picks don't work out, let alone third-round picks. So, I mean, the odds are against him, but they're against just about everybody. I think there's material there, and again, this is the case for next year. You give him the season, and you're trying to be better around him and stuff like that. Then, I mean, they're terrible around any quarterback right now, and if it's bad, then maybe you benefit from that. And if it's good, well, there you go. I mean, if you get through next year and it looks like this, if it doesn't look vastly different, then when will it? I mean, I think this offseason into next season, the strides have to be massive.
Well, all I know is, and I realized that they just gave up 34 points in a football game the other day, but that defense coming in here on Thursday with something to play for and with Micah Parsons maybe lining up across from Dennis Daly a few times, that's a pretty scary thought for Malik Willis this Thursday.
I would think so. I would think some moving pockets might be in order. Or, you know, again, I said it last week. I'll say it again. Install the veer.
Maybe
make Micah Parsons play assignment football all night.
That's right. That's right. 615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, install the veer. He's an idiot. Talking about you, Rex Road. I guess you forgot to put the sarcasm font on it.
Well, I'm assuming that he's being sarcastic too and really thinks that I'm a genius. I'll choose that. I got Jared from the Stillman family texting me.
Me too.
Let's see some selections. There's no material there that he can be the QB. He's probably not even a backup QB. By your there's a chance mentality, there's a chance Brock Purdy is the next Tom Brady. Zero material, more ability to be a running back than a QB. It was criminal. They made him a backup, and his press conference after the game was embarrassing. I will say the press conference after the game was way too defensive, and I was like, whoa, who is this guy? You know, like in training camp, that wasn't at all. I'm sure he's disappointed after the loss and after playing poorly, but like, you know, a pretty traditional, typical thing in the NFL, if you throw a pick as a quarterback and you're at your press conference, you're going to be asked to describe the play. You're also asked to describe like the touchdown pass or whatever key plays in a game, good or bad, that happened. You're going to be asked to describe them. So if your response is, it was an interception, like, oh, okay. A little spicy there.
Not wrong. Rookie.
Yeah, it was accurate. And then, you know, the whole stats, you know, then you're worried about fantasy football. Yeah, what matters is wins and losses. And certainly not Malik Willis' fault that Derrick Henry, the key play of the game was Derrick Henry fumbling. When they had the lead and were driving and had some momentum, that was a killer. But they still had a chance to win when Malik Willis threw a terrible pick on himself. So, look, he's not a quarterback. We know this. He's not a quarterback now. I don't know. I disagree with Jared. I know you'll be shocked. I totally disagree with you. Last night I texted Jared, like, Jared, he has a plus arm. He's a plus athlete. You can't say there's no material. Because someone's bad at that position right now as a rookie, I won't say any names, but there are some very good quarterbacks in this league who were awful, awful as rookies. And there were some very good quarterbacks in this league who didn't play as rookies because that's how it used to be done. So I disagree that there's no material. And at this point, it does feel far off that he could be a winning quarterback in full command of an offense, but that's the journey he's on. And no one expected him to be close to, that kind of command right now, not coming out of the offense he came out of.
Agreed. Now I will say it looks pretty bad And I said it earlier.
He
like
does.
If I had to assign a percentage to it, I'm at about 7% that he's going to turn into a quality NFL starter at some point. I know that that's low, but that's about
That's
where I'm
low.
At with it. But he's been pretty bad so far. Again, we've gone through the reasons. Some of it definitely is on him. He's got a horrible offensive line, receivers. We know all this stuff. But, I mean, the results are what they've been. It's not been good. And I don't really have any reason to think that's going to change all that much over the next 2 weeks.
I'll adjust mine. Quality NFL starter, Malik Willis. I'll go 10 more percent than you. I'll go 17.
17.
Okay. Jared, let us know your number. Negative a million percent.
Well, he's already let me know his number. It's zero.
Zero. There's zero. Yeah. So smart. There's just zero chance. Like, we have this information right now, and it's absolutely, there's nothing could possibly change. Just great approach to life, Jared.
Andrew on the text line says, talk about a guaranteed bet that will pay. It's Derrick Henry to fumble. Why can he not hang on to the ball? This is from Andrew on the text line.
It's wild.
Has had a lot of issues fumbling the ball lately, which has not typically been something that he struggled with in his career to this point.
Yeah, it's crazy. And a couple of the fumbles he's had were definitely like good job by the defender, you know, forcing it. But still, I mean, people have been trying that for years. Like, why is that working all of a sudden? He's got to lift more. Does he need to work on the triceps a little bit? Like, you know, like, I don't think that's it. It's wild, you know. But basically, like, with this team, you know, that and just so many things. I mean, speaking of Jared, to bring up the hashtag plane from Green Bay, like, as soon as that plane landed, it has been just absolute doo-doo for this franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Just an absolute disaster of a, you know, month-plus stretch here for this team. It's really quite amazing.
Jimmy Hendrix on Twitter, at VisualDreamer89, says, those press conference questions were terrible. I would have responded with the same answers, going back to the Malik Willis press conference.
Yeah, the question of what happened on the interception. Terrible.
Yeah.
I love that. Please tell me the amazing questions. They were basic questions. There was not a single question of Malik Willis that was problematic at all or any, but I welcome. Meanwhile, I get like the whole, like, you know, Nashville media doesn't ask any tough questions. So, you know, which is it, folks?
Yeah, not asking tough questions. Like, if you can't handle it, hey, what happened on an interception question? I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah, what should the questions be? I mean, I send me some samples of proper questions. Gotta hear this.
Kevin on the text line says, friendly reminder that the Titans traded up for Willis. Sheesh. This from Kevin from Hendersonville on the text line. They did. Now, it was in the third round, so it's a little bit different from, you know, a first round selection, but. Look, they felt like there was value there, and they took a risk on him developing into their quarterback of the future. Now, we've talked about that, too. Like, would you have been better served, especially with this roster, to have a third-round pick that could help you on the field right now? I mean, that's a very legitimate question to me, and I'm sure there will be different opinions on that, but I could certainly make that argument of, yeah, you got a team that you feel like can compete. Why not spend a third-round pick on a player that can help you right now? Rather than a project at quarterback that you hope helps you a year or two down the road.
Right, exactly. And that's fair. And look, of all the things that Jared said in his furious text storm that are, you know, a little overboard, I do agree. Like, I think at this point, you look at how bad he's been, and you do wonder, because we talked about the redshirt year, nobody started to play. Well, if you make him the two, then, you know, you know that he might play.
Yeah.
I think you can definitely nitpick the decision to make him the backup quarterback, understanding that he's going to have to come in and try to play winning football for you. I'm not saying, like, things would have been way different with Logan Woodside. I will tell you this. Logan Woodside, at his best, right now, if this team went to Jacksonville and their defense was healthy and Derrick Henry – like, Logan Woodside at his best would give you a better chance of winning than what we've seen from Malik Willis right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's that hot of a take, but apparently it is.
Someone's gonna call that a hot take, which is fine, but I actually.
They can't run half their passing offense right now.
Yeah.
With Malik Willis at quarterback. Like, you got to be able to run the offense.
It's not very good.
It's just amazing to watch out there. That's why I think, look, I think there's a legitimate chance that by the time that Jacksonville game kicks off, Josh Dobbs could be the starter in that game. And I don't know how well that's going to go. Like, either way right now, Joe, with the way things are trending, I'm picking the Jags to win that last game. Like, I think they're playing well. They've figured some things out. They've got the momentum. Trevor Lawrence is their quarterback. And whether it's Josh Dobbs or Malik Willis, I don't love the Titans' chances in that game. But I do think you've at least got to be throwing that around the room if you're Vrabel of getting Josh Dobbs maybe ready to go for that winner-take-all game.
Well, was it thrown around the room when they landed? Well, you know, was it thrown around the room? Was it in the mindset like, you know what, it might have to be at that when they signed him off the Lions practice squad, VFL, also LFL, Josh Dobbs. And yes. Basically, they knew at that point that it was going to be a winner take all game in Jacksonville. So, has it already kind of been the idea like, you know what, Malik has to start the next two games, right? I mean, no one else is coming in and starting instead of him quickly. But with this time frame, this guy's a better option than him. Maybe it's been the plan all along.
Could be. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick. We'll get his thoughts on the Malik Willis situation. Also look ahead to the Preds and Stars coming up tonight as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be joined by Willie Donick here in just a few minutes as the Preds prepare to take on the Dallas Stars tonight. We'll get his thoughts on the Malik Willis situation as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeff on the text line says, I suppose Stoneman ranting over and over that Willis sucks 47 times yesterday wasn't enough for him to make his opinion heard, but it was enough for me. Lastly, I had a bad dream last night. The Titans made a trade for Tua, and their turnover woes continued into the foreseeable future as well. This is from Jeff on the text line. Had enough of Stillman's ranting and has a dream about the Titans trading for Tua Tagovailoa.
Wow. Well, who knows? You never know. That's an interesting one. Has Jimi Hendrix, fake Jimi Hendrix, told me the awesome questions that should have been asked of Malik Willis? I need to hear. I need to hear the amazing questions, the amazing press conference questions that, you know, got to have.
Which one drives you nuts worse? The you're not asking tough enough questions comment or the, hey, why did y'all ask those stupid questions comment?
Right. It's like either you never ask tough questions or yeah. How dare you ask questions like that? Well, I get bothered by the actually, I went off on someone in a comment on my column the other day at theathletic.com who said, like, Nashville media never asks tough questions. And of course, I had a tantrum, a written tantrum. And then someone backed me up and was like, actually, the questions are so tough from Nashville media, it's sometimes unnerving, which was interesting. Then, of course, he was like, Karski sometimes is like, you know, I mean, all the questions that need to be asked are asked. And really, this is not, well, nod to Josh Dobbs. This is not rocket science, okay? Like, you're going to ask the obvious questions that need to be asked, and they are always asked.
Lester on the text line says, good morning. I believe the last two games, the defense also had a few opportunities to intercept passes in which they couldn't get to them. And then Henry fumbles. Willis has a bad interception. Certainly contributed to the losses. In the press conference, Vrabel should have trotted in the assistant coaching staff to start fielding questions on what they have contributed to the losses. This from Lester on the text line. Get everybody in front of the mic. I like it.
I'm actually a little surprised we haven't had more, like, Downing must absolutely be fired today on the text line. I figured there'd be a lot of that. And yeah, I'm not saying Todd Downing's blameless. I'm just saying, like, usually when you have a performance that bad, like, the OC is auto blamed, but we haven't seen a ton of that. As far as the earlier point on that, what was the first thing he said there?
The defense having opportunities to intercept passes in the last couple of games.
I mean, Zach Cunningham, what if he just catches that one pass before he got hurt again? And
yeah,
to basically, like, it's just seriously, that's an underrated, terrible decision by John Robinson to bring him back and pay him. But man, if he just catches that gimme, I bet you the outcome of this game is different.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob from Murfreesboro. Rob, thanks for calling in.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, we blame Robinson for picking Malik. If any too early, I think picking him at all didn't make sense. I don't think the guy could start for a top 25 team in college football, much less an NFL team. But Vrabel's the one that put him as the backup quarterback, not John Robinson. Robinson has plenty of stuff we can blame him for, but obviously Vrabel wanted the guy picked, or he would not be the backup quarterback. You don't just all of a sudden move somebody to your backup quarterback when you've got a guy that's been on the team for a couple of years that isn't, I mean, he ain't great by no means, but Woodside was a proven backup anyway.
Hey, thanks for the call. Well, look, the argument of why did the Titans not have a better option at backup quarterback, I think is certainly a valid argument. I mean, if you drafted Malik Willis, why would you not have a, you know, more of a veteran guy in here that could handle things? I think that's a good argument. Now, to say that Logan Woodside was a proven backup quarterback, I mean, he never really played. So how do we know? And look, I can just go on what I saw in the preseason games. Logan Woodside was really bad in the preseason games, and he had some opportunities to take a hold of that job and keep the number two position, and he didn't do it. Now, you know, again, could you make an argument that the Titans should have been better prepared at backup quarterback? Yes, you absolutely can make that argument. But I also don't buy into that Logan Woodside was some proven option at backup quarterback either.
Yeah, I agree. I still thought he was going to get, I mean, throughout the preseason, I still thought he was going to get the number two job just because, like, you don't want Malik Willis to be forced to play. And then look at what's happened. He's been forced to play, and it's been really bad. But he was, Logan Woodside. And, I mean, look, the caller's correct. But, I mean, I think that's Vrabel's decision. I think it's a coaching decision. I think it was based in part on Logan Woodside playing terrible in those preseason games and at times in practice, too. But I will stick with what I said earlier in the show. Like, if they had Logan Woodside right now for one game in Jacksonville, I think you'd have a better chance than with Malik Willis at quarterback. That tells you how low the bar is, because Logan Woodside is barely good enough to be a backup in the NFL. And yeah, they should have had a better backup. I always say this too, like, and ask anyone to name the backup quarterbacks in the NFL. There's like 15 you can't name, and then you're like, that dude is a number two quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot of clipboard holders who teams do not want anywhere near the field.
Yeah, no question about it. So what's the approach Thursday? Because we know that the game itself doesn't mean anything. Like, there's no repercussions. If you lose the game, it's going to come down to Jacksonville. And if you can win that game. So what's your approach on Thursday from the standpoint of the game itself doesn't mean anything? But you've also lost five in a row, and you've gone from 7-3 to 7-8, and you're on a five-game losing streak where it just feels like everything around you with your franchise is crumbling at the moment.
It's really interesting. And, you know, talking to Kevin Byard after the game Saturday, you know, and he's obviously very upset and down, but he's also like, you know, he's trying to figure out how to turn this thing around, you know. And I asked him just about how you look at this week, because this game doesn't count. And he almost got a little mad about it. He's like, it counts to me. I mean, it counts to me, man. These games count. And it's going to be a really fascinating look at guys like him, Simmons, and the guys who drive the emotional bus for this team. Can they get this team to play well and to put everything they have out there? We don't know who they're going to have out there, because I think there's going to be a couple guys not out there who would be out there if this game counted, and Vrabel that confirmed as much. Like you said earlier in the show, Robbie, is Derrick Henry play? And if he doesn't, like, are they going to lose by 30? You know, like, are they just going to get blown out of this game? Maybe. If they don't, if they come up and summon a really good effort and have a chance to win this game, what does that mean? I'll be impressed, I'll tell you that. I will be impressed, because we know Dallas has something to play for. They need a miracle still for the Eagles to lose two more games and them to have a chance. They're going to be the five, but they beat the Eagles. They gave themselves a chance. They're playing. They're going to come in with full intent on winning this game. I'll be impressed if the Titans don't get blown out Thursday. And I know that's an incredibly low bar to set, but I will be.
Well, I'll tell you what Vegas thinks about the game. Cowboys are a 10.5-point favorite. So you're a 10.5-point favorite on the road on
a Thursday night
football game. I mean, it's that tells you what Vegas thinks is going to happen in this game. I mean, I agree. Like, if the Cowboys have something to play for, which they do, and quite frankly, you know, even if both teams had something to play for, I don't love the matchup right now for the Titans. I think it's an offensive line that's pretty good. So I think it hold up okay against the Titans' defensive front. And on the other side of the ball, and again, I realize they just gave up 34 to Philadelphia, but that defense with the special player that they have in Parsons and what they can do, and with Diggs back there and what he can do and his ability to take the football away, like it could be rough for the Titans on Thursday night. There'll be a lot of Cowboys fans in there too, from what I hear.
Oh, sure. And, you know, it's like you look at the injury report, because Dupree, who knows? Cunningham and Dupree probably, they may not play again at all, right? Yeah. But Autry biceps didn't practice. And this is an estimated, by the way. They didn't actually practice. So this is an estimated injury report if they practice. But Henry's got the hip. We know that, I mean, Hooker probably could come back, but will he because of the situation? I mean, is Autry going to get the week off, or is Autry even worse? Who knows, right? Simmons' ankle. Like, if Simmons doesn't play, then there's your answer, but the Titans are basically punting on this game, right? And it's like, you know what? Take 2 weeks, Jeff, and get the ankle totally healthy. And
he shouldn't play.
And wreck the game in Jacksonville, because what's the Titans' hope of winning that game? Just destroying the Jaguars with their defense. So, and of course, if that's the case, how do the Titans not get blown out? If you have Simmons, Autry, Henry, all these guys off, it's just going to be
Well, Mike McCarthy might go for it from, you know, 4th and 12 from his own 13-yard line. So,
yeah. And the thing is, I do think that, I mean, you could, like, in a game like this, you still can build towards something. Like whoever is out there on defense, like, you want to start playing better. But they played pretty well on defense, but then they had that. They seem to have a couple drives every game where they kind of fall apart on defense right now.
Yeah.
And so a game like this, could you build momentum? Yeah. But if you don't have all those guys, I don't see how it goes well for you. It's hard to see it.
Well, and the thing is, Joe, like, they're going to have some starters play, right? I mean, they've only a certain amount of guys that you could sit out.
There's only so much you can do. It's not college where you can just – you got a whole bunch of walk-ons you can throw in there. No, I mean, a bunch of key players who you'd probably rather rest and just get healthy have to play in the game.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how Vrabel and the Titans handle that part of it. I will say, like, I am interested to see the crowd, like you talked about. You were there on Saturday, so you could talk about it better than I could. But TV, I thought the crowd looked fine. I mean, what'd you say? You're guessing at 45,000, 50,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that sounds bad, but given the circumstances of the weather, the holiday, and the team, I thought it's better than I thought it would be.
And the delay.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, everybody wait another hour here. Yeah. No, I was actually impressed. I was impressed that, like, Byard and Simmons, you know, tweeted at the fans to thank them, because those people are some hardy souls out there.
Yes.
But, yeah, so now it's going to be like 60 degrees Thursday, right? Like, it's going to actually be a nice night to go watch a football game. But what's that atmosphere going to be like? Is this going to – are Cowboys fans – I mean, they're everywhere. So, like, there's a bunch of Cowboys fans who are here.
Right.
But, like, on a Thursday night game, are they going to take over a stadium on the road?
They could in a holiday week.
Yeah, it's a holiday week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's a good point.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next, including Joe's thoughts on putting into scope this collapse from the Titans that we've seen, going from 7-3 to now 7-8 with the playoffs and the division in doubt. We'll get to that up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back. second final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. So, you know, the Titans have gone from 7-3 and in complete control of their division, and for the playoffs being almost a certainty, not just in our opinions, but by the numbers and by the statistics, to now 7-8, down to a winner-take-all game coming up in a couple of weeks in Jacksonville for the winner of that game, winning the division, getting to the playoffs, and being the number 4 seed in the AFC. So 5 losses in a row, potentially staring down the barrel of 6 this week with the Dallas Cowboys coming to town. How do you put into words or into a scope kind of the level of this collapse that we've seen, not only from the team on the field, but from what we've seen as the organization as a whole over the course of the past basically 2 months since this has taken place?
Well, I think it'll be one of the all-time collapses in franchise history. I think it'll be an all-time collapse in Nashville sports history, which, you know, is a short pro sports history, but you've got that. And then you've just got, I think when you look back on this, you know, we'll see where things go for AJ Brown and the Eagles, but they're going pretty well. I think this is one of those things where you're going to look back and say, you had a number one seed that blew it. So you could go back to blowing the playoff game if you want to start all the bad stuff. But you had a number one seed and a team that was definitely among contenders of a conference, and you traded away a great player. And you just – I mean, you could – I think you'll trace it to that because, look, they were 7-3, and they felt good as they got on the hashtag playing from Green Bay. But how good were they? How good have they been all year? They won some close games. They beat some bad teams. There was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And they played in such a bad division that we just awarded them the AFC South title way early, right? That said, when you lead a division by 4 games on Thanksgiving, that's an incredible choke job to not win the division.
Yes, it is.
Incredible. Yes, it is. So they weren't that good, but they still were in total command.
No, it's unbelievable what's taking place here. No, it's just, it's crazy what's taking place here. And it's one of those things where I look at it and I agree, like, you're 7-3. How good are you really? I don't know. I mean, they had not beaten really anybody that was all that good during that time. Their best win was against Washington. And that was at a time when Carson Wentz was the starting quarterback for the Commanders. So we talked about that even at the time. Like, okay, what does this all mean? How good really are the Titans? But then even with Malik Willis at quarterback, you went to Kansas City and your defense played really well and they kept you in the game. You had a chance to win the game. You probably should have won that game against Kansas City. And to me, that was kind of an awakening of, well, this defense is pretty darn good. Like, they could be pretty good as they move forward. And it's just been injury after injury after injury that's taken place since then, especially on that side of the ball. And their offense is bad. I mean, their offense has been bad from the word go this year. Their best performance was in Green Bay. And like you said, since the moment that plane from Green Bay touched down, everything has gone wrong for this Titans franchise. And, you know, Caroline brought this up earlier, and I don't know how much of the piece of the pie that I give this. I certainly give it to some for that first Jacksonville game, but the firing of John Robinson, like, how much did Amy Adams Strunk's decision to do that when she did it play into what we've seen in the aftermath since then? I think you can certainly make a case for the Jacksonville game. Beyond that, I don't know how much of a case I'd make for John Robinson and the impact of what it's meant for the team on the field, but there's no question that it's been basically a total disaster from that Green Bay game on.
But the impact is more than that game because it gave them oxygen, you know, yep. Because a team that had just lost 40-14 to the Lions, the freaking Lions, by the way, who gave up a juicy 320 rushing yards to the Panthers in showing their true selves this last weekend. There's a lock for me.
You nailed it.
Coming through. Thank you. But Jacksonville lost 40-14 in Detroit. So the timing of that, which is right after Philly, that's the timing that I think is important. But the timing of that going into the Jacksonville game, jacking up that whole week, making your team the story of the NFL because of, like, dysfunction and what happened and what's the real story. Okay, that's one game, but also now they have life and they look at what they've done from there. Like, basically. And look, it did start with that Derrick Henry fumble to them. And then it just completely just like they just crumble in that game. Like the most mentally soft team I've ever seen a Mike Vrabel team, not even close. And then, yeah, like I agree. I mean, I don't think like that's still hanging on them, but Jacksonville gets oxygen. And all of a sudden, here they are. They're the toast of the NFL. And if you just don't blow that game, then it doesn't matter. Like, right, it's over. It's over right now. Like, it just – now, they'd probably be screwed. Like, you know, if you lose Nate Davis and you lose Ben Jones, all these guys are on IR. Like, that's where it's like you look forward and it's like, so what could they really do? Like, I guess, like, Tannehill somehow miraculously comes back, and then you could make some kind of run. Your defense miraculously gets totally healthy and you play your top level of defense. It just seems so distant and unrealistic right now.
Well, you wrote about this after the game on Saturday, Joe. And it's really interesting because, like, they still could win the division. They still could get to the playoffs. And I sense zero excitement from Titans fans. And I'm not even saying I blame them. Like, I don't blame you for not being excited. It's just interesting that they very much could still make the playoffs, even given everything that's happened. And I think a lot of the Titans fans are like, yeah, so what? Who cares?
Yeah, it's interesting because they're going to go to Jacksonville. And, I mean, in my opinion, the way I look at it is like, hey, may as well get the shot in while you can now. I mean, I think it would be pretty amazing, whether it's Willis or Dobbs, or I guess, you know, Tannehill could hop around on one leg and try to play in the finale. But, you know, Willis or Dobbs going into that place, that'll be a packed stadium, division rival. All of a sudden they're going to be the team. I mean, to me,
that
like,
pool will be fired up down there. Be ready to go.
The pool will be milky. The milky pool water will be bubbling. But is that not worth, you know, like if you're a Titans fan, is that just winning that game just to keep them out of it and say, shut up, we won three in a row? Is there not some value in that?
Oh, I think so. Look, make the playoffs again. Like, it's funny to even be talking about this because we thought that was a virtual certainty at one point. But make the playoffs, probably not going to go well once you get there. And I get it. Yeah, there are people that are more concerned about draft positions right now than they are with playoffs. And again, I understand it. I mean, what's the best case scenario for your draft pick? 12, 11? I guess if things go right, you could end up maybe at 10 at some point. But right now, I think they're at 13 right now. So what are you doing at 13? Are you getting a franchise quarterback there? Probably not.
Right. I mean, if you lose that game, that's all you got is you got the draft, you know. But yeah, it's like, is it really that big of a difference? It's a couple of players, and the reality is whoever gets taken like 24th will be like the best player in the draft anyway. You know, I mean, it's just you're gonna be in the same range either way. But I still like, look, if they were to win that game, however the heck they would do it, if like Baltimore's coming in here.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Win a rock fight? You know, I don't know. It's probably not going to happen. But I still think, like, this could be the last. I mean, this could be the last chance. And it's become the norm, so people lose excitement over it. But this could be the last chance of postseason football for a few years for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no idea what the direction of the team's going to look like as they move forward here. That's why that's the only part about this Thursday game that's really all that interesting to me, is like, how important do the Titans think it is to just win a game, or at least try to win a game? Because they've done so much losing. You could see it, like, even just watching the videos, and Joe, you were in there and you could speak to it better than me, but even just like watching Kevin Byard's face in some of these post-game videos, just the sense of dread that he's got on his face right now. You can't tell me that that's not just circulating through that locker room right now.
Yeah, he's never, and he said it, and it's a fact. He's never experienced anything like this. He's only known winning. He came in with John Robinson, Derrick Henry, and all they've done, they flipped the franchise around, and they've only known winning, not 14-2 kind of winning, but winning. They haven't had losing streaks like this, and it just gets worse and worse. So now, and it's actually kind of tough to watch. guy like him be affected by this, because you know he's doing everything he can. We haven't really gotten into the whole stuff with Vrabel, what he said after the game today. We can talk some about that tomorrow. But there's that too. Like, how much is this impacting guys? Do they have the right combination of, intangibles in that locker room? You start to wonder when you go on a stretch like this.
That's going to do it for us today. By the way, J.J. Watt putting it out there, it looks like he's going to retire at the end of this season. And he put it out there that this last Sunday was his final NFL home game. So it looks like J.J. Watt going to call it a career after this year is done. They've got two more games on the road, and it looks like that's going to be it for J.J. Watt after that.
He was awesome, by the way. He was freaking amazing in that game.
Yeah, he was.
They couldn't block him.
Yeah,
It's incredible.
pretty incredible. So it looks like J.J. Watt calling it a career. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.